Alrighty. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, O God, for the life, the days, the joy, the hope, all that you set before us, dear God, the fullness of life in Christ, and the empowering, the enabling of the Holy Spirit to be able to walk with you and to know you, to learn of you, and to experience the kingdom, to experience your presence, to experience and recognize in our own hearts and minds, dear God, your presence and power in the world today. Father, we just thank you for the hope that you've set before us in Christ, and that we might be encouraged through all these things to run the race you've set before us with a zeal, with a earnestness, and with a great desire to please you in all things. Father, we just ask that you bless this time in your word, that you, by the Spirit, open our hearts and eyes to your truth even more, that we might find a greater comfort, joy, and peace in our life in you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. It's one of those mornings I'm trying to think just exactly where to start. There's a verse, and we won't turn there, but in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, and Paul refers to this, or the New Testament writers, Paul twice, and then I always say the author of Hebrews once. But it's the phrase, and it's the reality of the just shall live by faith. And as I was taught to me, and I remember a study that a precious brother named Brother Freestone gave on this once, is Paul's use of that phrase and how he breaks it down, the just in one portion and shall live in another portion, by faith in another portion. And it's in this this last portion, the use of it, that the just shall live by faith. Ephesians, 2 Corinthians 5:7, I'll read it, or just say it now, or refer to it now. Paul states that we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the way in which we live. It is faith in God. It is faith in the promises of God. It's faith in an abundant faith and a confidence in our relationship with God and a confidence in the working of God in our lives, in the fact of God. I like to speak of the fact of God. And when we factor in that fact into our lives, we discover glorious things, wonderful things, and a whole new realm that the world cannot know and cannot see without faith. I'd like to start this morning, I think, in Hebrews chapter 10, where this phrase is used for the third time in the New Testament. It's kind of a lead-in to chapter 11, which we will glance at a portion of that, or read a portion of that. But it comes out of Hebrews chapter 10, talking about really the necessity of the offering of Christ and the blessings of the offering of Christ and the whole new life, a whole new world that is opened to those who believe in Christ as their Lord and Savior. And he speaks to the Hebrews about the sufferings and the things that they have gone through and that they've identified with this new gospel and the teachings of Christ. But verse 34, Hebrews 10:34, we'll start reading there. We read, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, or will he that shall come, will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." What I'd really like to focus on is verses 35 through the first half of 38. "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." God has called us to a new life. We're born again through faith in Christ as our Savior. We're born of the Spirit. We become a spiritual, within us is born a spiritual creation, a new creation. We still have the flesh. You know, outwardly we don't change. Outwardly we're just like the world in the sense that our bodies grow old. They sometimes have diseases. We suffer afflictions and troubles. You know, as Paul said, that there's no such affliction or tribulation come upon you, but such is common to man. We experience the commonalities with the unsaved, if you would, because we live in a world of darkness, a world of sin, and our bodies are affected by that. But on the inwardly, we have that new creation, that where Christ lives within us, and we're born of the Spirit. And this new creation is called to, as we think we read a couple weeks ago from 2 Corinthians, is that Paul says, you know, that I bring my body under subjection. I'm running a race. I'm running to perform, to walk in those things that God has called me to do. And in order to do that, in order to fulfill that, I cannot listen to what my body says as far as what I do in this race, in this calling of God. Again, referring to Ephesians 2:10, let me read that. I do want to read Ephesians 2:10. Let's start with verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God has called us to a new life. We have a new mission. We have a new way of living. And any of you can look at your own lives and throughout Scripture, how one example is Abraham, how God called him to a new country, a new inheritance, a new life, to be the father of many nations. Though he lived in this world and outwardly he did not appear any different, God did amazing things in him. But God has called us to walk in certain works or activities, labors, that he has ordained that we should live in them, that we should walk in them. And the just shall live by faith. Faith turning back to Hebrews chapter 10, confidence in the calling of God and walking by faith will take each and every one of us down lots of different roads, many different roads, many different paths, which I think is one of the wonderful things of gathering together on a regular basis, is to share what God is doing in my life, in your life. And there are things that he's doing in your life that he would never do in my life, because he hasn't ordained that to be part of my life. And we aren't called to copy somebody else's life. We need to know God's will for our lives, that we can walk in full confidence and hope and faith in what God has told us to do. And to, as back in Hebrews 10, therefore, even though these Hebrews were entered into their faith with a great fight of afflictions, as verse 32 says, similar was said to the Thessalonians, who had had to endure the spoiling of their goods. They entered into much affliction in their new life in Christ. The world does not find any pleasure in there being a God that is to rule and overrule over their own will. That's the very root of sin, as it was first unveiled in Lucifer, putting self above God. I spoke on that a few weeks ago. But once we know who we are in Christ, and God reveals to us these things he set before us, he leads us. Some days the visions may be a little more clear than others, but we follow in the way that the Spirit leads us, and we enter into those labors that God has ordained that we should walk in them. We need confidence. We need to have that confidence that our journey is going to be blessed by God. It is going to be, we're going to have to deal with afflictions, because it's contrary, we're rowing upstream. In a sense, we're going against the flow of this world in so many ways. And as verse 36 says, ye have need of patience. God's work does not always move real fast. But when we discover how much God has done in our lives over a period of time, and we look back, it's like climbing a mountain, going up. It can be very, very slow progress, just one little step at a time. But once in a while, in a spiritual sense, the Lord gives us opportunity to look back and see just how far we've come. And it's encouraging. So with greater confidence, we can keep moving forward. We keep climbing higher. We can keep following on the Spirit's leading patiently, patiently. You have need of patience. It's an essential thing, because your life, as the Lord works and leads, a month from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, could look so much different than it does today. You wouldn't believe it if you were to show it to you right now. But when you look back at it, when we get to that point, we find what a wonderful work that God has worked in our lives, simply because we trusted him, simply because we followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that faith, if you would, and walking in the things of God are their own reward. The just shall live by faith. They shall sow seed by faith. They shall water by faith. You have need of patience. You plant a garden and you can't put seeds in the ground one day and expect fruit the next. We're coming to the end of gardening season, the end of the growing season, and many things are just now really producing. Our lives in Christ are much the same. We have needed this patience, and we walk by faith in what God has said at the beginning, what God has promised at the beginning, and we follow through with that, and we see what becomes of it. So really, the point I want to get to, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You know, first of all, our lives are to be lives of faith. We need to have that deep-seated trust in God and knowledge, this knowing that we are doing what God would have us to do, that we can have patience in faith, we can have confidence in faith, and that we can keep moving forward and keep running that race regardless of the circumstances that surround us. Now I'm going to read some hard verses. They can be a little bit hard to read. In Hebrews 11, starting with verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, or received not yet the promise, if you would. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect, or complete, or fulfilled. So where has faith taken so many through Scripture? Where has faith in God and following the spiritual leading, where has faith taken any one of us? This is really, the thought today is really about the predictable unpredictability of faith. It is very predictable that we cannot predict where God will lead and how he will lead, what he will do in our lives. It's very predictable that your walk by faith, your walk with God, is very personal, very individual, and no one knows. We have no idea where and how and the exact circumstances in which God will use us. The works that he has ordained from before the foundation of the world, who can predict those? Who can predict those? And again, you pause and look at a moment in, the first part of Hebrews chapter 11, let alone what we just read. What God did in the lives, like with Abraham. What God did with his life. You know, I mentioned this a little bit at the wedding I was at yesterday about Daniel. And think of the changes that Daniel went through, that only faith in God and faith in the faithfulness of God would enable him to do. He went from being, we don't know exactly what he did in Israel before the country, the population was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and taken away into Babylon. But he was a wise young man, And after they were examined by the Babylonians, they selected the wisest and taught them the ways of their government, their life, their philosophies, their teachers, so that they would apply that wisdom to other subjects. So Daniel went from being a young man in Israel to being a prisoner, to being sorted out and placed in a place where he was, they were tested in the jail. He said, we're not going to eat meat. We're not going to eat the king's meat. We just want vegetables. We just want vegetable soup. And they said, you can't live on that. Yet they did better. Immediately, God showed them that as they put their faith in God, that God would bless them. That they were entering into a very unique blessing. But when the time came when Nebuchadnezzar had this dream that it just disturbed him, but he woke up and he could not remember the dream, and he wanted to know the meaning of it. So he demanded from his wise men and magicians and all the wisdom that they so proclaimed, and brought Daniel in as well, and said, I had this dream. I don't remember it. Tell me what it was. I want to know. And they said, well, we can't do that. They said, okay, you either come up with an answer or just take them off and kill them. They're not that smart. They don't offer any real value. Well, then Daniel spoke up and said, this is not work for men. This is a realm that only God can intervene in. He says, give me till tomorrow. And I trust my God that he will give me the dream and the lesson or the meaning of the dream. That dream that the Lord revealed to Daniel, that he revealed to the king, was the foretelling of the history of world governments from that time until now and into our future. Pretty big deal. Pretty big deal. But for Daniel to get to that point, that day, that moment, and that work, he went through captivity, imprisonment, testing, required changes in his life. I mean, he was literally taken captive to become another person, given another name. And with much patience, wait, okay, Lord, why am I here? Why do you have me here? But every day he prayed. He looked to God. And as Daniel told the king, it is a rare thing that the king asks. This is not something that happens very often, that another person is required for the sake of saving their own lives to interpret somebody else's dream and tell them the meaning, knows of somebody else's dream, and then to explain what it means. God calls us to rare things. And we don't realize how rare they are until the Lord finally gets us to that point. So we walk by faith. We live by faith. We put our trust in God to be for us and give to us all that we need to face the current circumstances. Knowing, again, as I said, faith is its own reward. It was a great miracle that took place when this happened, when the Lord revealed the dream to Daniel and the explanation of it. What a great miracle. What an amazing thing it was. But as we try to put ourselves in Daniel's shoes, what a great challenge that was. But what was the challenge to? It was impossible. God called him to do something that was absolutely impossible. Put him in a place where his life was on the line for something that was extremely rare. Really impossible. But Daniel walked by faith. He lived by faith. The just shall live by faith. And Daniel's journey took him through circumstances like that. How did Daniel experience the testimony? How is it that Daniel was, we have this wonderful example to live by today, how that God is able to shut the mouths of lions, of ravaging beasts, unless Daniel had gotten put in because of his trust in God, because of his faith, was placed into a pit of no return. Nobody, there's no ladder. There's no need of a ladder. Nobody ever comes out. There's no way of escape because nobody ever comes out. Even as there was no ladder into and out of the fiery furnace. You don't need that. You just like throwing in the firewood. Put firewood in the stove or the oven, and you don't need to take it back out. But God calls us to circumstances and situations where, in a sense, faith and being able to have that confidence in God and enjoy the presence and the promises of God, regardless of the outcome. Sometimes we get too conditioned that, well, and I hear it, I think we all hear it, and we've all done it, that, well, I looked to the Lord, I prayed, I did everything I know needed to do, and this bad thing still happened to me. The outcome, though many miracles still take place daily, constantly, that we're aware of, the real miracle is in the fact is that God is with us and God is in us. And God has called us to walk by faith. And the real joy, the real blessing in our lives is that faith in God is very real. And the confidence that we can have in God is very real. We do not measure the success of faith by the outcome. These verses that we just read in Hebrews 11. What a wide span of outcomes because of faith. Some people, in their placing their faith in God, like with Samson, it took him through many a journey, but it also, even in his failure, when his faith and trust in God, when his hair grew back, when his relationship with God was healed, he was able to kill more Philistines than in any other battles. Samuel and the prophets, so many things. Daniel again. So Gideon, think of the work that God did in Gideon's life. And he was scared witless at the beginning. But by faith, he simply did, bit by bit, what the Lord wanted him to do and wrought a great victory. Others were cut in pieces with swords. By walking by faith. So I talk about the predictable unpredictability of faith is something that we need to be aware of. We do not measure the benefits of our faith in God by the physical, if you would, outcome of the event. It must be measured by the spiritual outcome. It must be measured by the success of our testimony. The success, Daniel stood for the word of God. He could have been eaten by the lions. And his testimony still would have stood. That he believed God, he put his trust in God, and verse 35 says, And they people some of these people were tortured and would not accept deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. There was a benefit to them in trusting God unto death. Others put their trust in God and, like Daniel, were exalted in the kingdom, gained more riches, more power, more influence, a higher respect. But the reward is still the same. They put their trust in God. They lived by faith. They walked by faith. They walked in the light of God wherever it might take them. And the reward was that they pleased God, as the testimony of Enoch is in 11 verses 5 and 6. This testimony that he walked with God, regardless of the outcome. So with faith, and as we walk by faith, we as the children of God need to realize that the real joy and the real blessing is the relationship with God, not the outcome of that relationship. The worldly outcome in this world. The relationship that we got with God, that we can walk by confidence in Him, assurance of heart and soul, assurance that, and the blessing of just being alive in the Lord today, and in any circumstance, is its own reward. The outcomes, the circumstances surrounding faith that are walked by faith are predictably unpredictable. We don't know where we'll be tomorrow. We don't know what circumstances will come our way tomorrow, today, next week. This year for me has been an absolutely insane year in my life history to have gone through the things that the Lord has taken me through this year. But every time it comes back to, well, you know, this, the Lord's at work, and all I know is I keep landing in good places. And it has deepened my confidence and my trust in the Lord. And more and more, every day is just a delight. You know, oh, I got fired again? Praise God. You know, wonder what's next. Wonder what other door will open when this door closes. Such are our lives. The joy is not in the circumstances, but that we are where the Lord would have us to be it a lion's den or a throne. We don't look at ourselves. We don't measure it by circumstances. We don't measure it by gold or silver or hunger and deprivation as those in verse 37 of Hebrews 11. If we're living in animal skins and in caves and are afflicted and tormented, we still can have joy and confidence in God and rejoice with the dawn of each new day. I'm thankful for all that God has blessed me in and with. I'm thankful for all that He has taken me through, and some of it was pretty miserable. Was for me anyway. Things that I would not have chosen for myself. But as we bring it down to, as the Lord reminded me of something that a major spiritual shift in my life back in 1978 when we lived in Denver. It put me on the highway, if you would, of walking with God. But to get me there, the Lord had to bring me down to probably the lowest time in my life, where I had nothing. And that's what I told the Lord. I said, I need to know what's going on. Why is everything going wrong? And it wasn't. Everything was going right. I just couldn't see that. But the Lord told me, I said, I need to know what's going on. Because I was losing hope and vision and confidence, and life didn't hardly seem worth living. And the Lord said, I'm taking you down to where you have nothing but faith in me. And I realized that I'd been leaning on things that could fail and fall, and fail and fall they did. But as I learned to lean totally upon the Lord in faith in His Word, His faith, this faith has, He has never failed me. And placing faith in Him has never failed me. The just shall live every day, every moment, by faith in what God has said, in what God has promised, in what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. The just shall live in that kind of environment. This is where we prosper. This is the perfect environment for growing spiritual giants, and for the children of God to blossom and grow and bring forth fruit. This is an environment where we place our faith in God, not in the circumstances around, but we place our faith in God today, tomorrow, the next day. Whether we're in danger of being sawn in sunder, or if we're being prepared to sit on the throne. Many people say they would rather die than get up and sing in front of an audience or give a speech. Sometimes it can kind of feel, the great blessings can feel pretty bad. The joy is in being where God would have us to be. The joy is in our relationship and our trust, our confidence in God, and learning to discovering that confidence and learning that this is the great reward that we have, that we are walking with God through this moment, through these circumstances. Regardless, again, the contrast in where faith might take any one of us, the contrast, it could not be any more wide. Maybe you're going to be eaten by lions tomorrow, or maybe you're going to become somewhat of a king. I don't know, you don't know. What we do know is that God is with us. God is for us. And God will sustain us and keep us. And that faith and confidence in our relationship with God is really the ultimate reward. And this work that God is doing in the human race, in your life and mine, is amazing. It's this that will be, that will glorify Jesus throughout eternity. Because those very things that we face that cause many to turn back from God, to reject God, well, my life's not perfect, so therefore God must not exist. It's that very thing that separates some from God, because they do not have faith. They never get to experience a life of faith. But a life of faith is our realm. That's our home. That's our environment. We get out from the environment of faith and we're like fish out of water. But when we are living and walking and living and breathing faith in God and that confidence, we are in the element that God has called us to. The just shall live by faith. In whatever journey the Lord has for you, have confidence in Him. That's your reward. For now, that's our great reward, is a relationship, a close relationship with the Almighty God and our Savior, Jesus. our deliverer, Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your goodness, for your kindness. Father, we thank you that it's when you are close to us that we are blessed, and you are faithful to be with us through all things. Father, we just ask that you would bless this word, your word, to our hearts and lives, that we might be encouraged today, in this day, in this circumstances of this day, that we might find rejoicing in whatever circumstances you have placed us in, because it's in the midst of that fiery furnace, or in the midst of that blessing, that our true reward is our relationship with you. And we give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
727, verse 2.
727? Let's stand number 727 and sing the second verse. Faith is the victory.
His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
We are overcomers through Christ, through faith. May God bless you. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please do so. May God bless you. Amen.